You want to open up to the book of Jonah, that's where we're going to be today. And I don't know if any of you know about the book of Jonah, and most of you probably have heard the book of Jonah or have some type of recollection with it. It's basically, you remember, Jonah told God no and he got swallowed by a big fish, right? And that's probably what we know about the book of Jonah. Well, it's more than just that. This is a story about God and what he says about himself and what he says about who we are as well. And so a lot of people have some angst towards Jonah, or maybe a little bit some discrepancies, like how can someone really live in the belly of a whale for 3 days or a belly of a big fish for 3 days? I'm just going to shoot straight with you. Out of everything that's done in the Bible, this is one of the more believable things that I can come across. Like, I think living inside of a big whale for 3 days is more so believable than some of the other things in the Bible, which is all believable. But this isn't even in my top 10 of things, because I watch Shark Week, and so I know what goes down in the ocean. I think this is very believable to me, all right? And so I want to tell you that this story is not just about a big magical fish. It's about God. And what this story is going to show us is really two things. It's going to show us what a real sinner looks like, but also what a real Savior looks like as well. Now let's get some background on kind of what's going on in Jonah and what's going on behind the scenes here. There are a few other references to Jonah that we see throughout the Bible. We see a reference to Jonah in Matthew 12 and in Luke 11, but also we see a reference to Jonah in 2 Kings chapter 14. In that passage, it tells us that Jonah was one of the really premier prophets of his day. He was well-liked. He was well-thought of. Everybody thought that he was just this good, upstanding prophet that did God's work. And so everybody thought well of Jonah. He wasn't this guy that was kind of a fringe guy that was just kind of like, oh, that's Jonah. He's a little kooky. He's a little crazy. No, he was very well-respected as a prophet of God. And if you know anything about the prophets in those days, they weren't really liked. Most prophets really in those days were either killed or stoned, or people hated them because of the message they were bringing. So Jonah being a prophet that people liked was actually a rare thing in those days. So Jonah was actually liked in his days. And during this time, the Assyrians were in power. And Nineveh, the city that God told Jonah to go to, was in that Assyrian empire. Now, Nineveh was ruthless. They were a ruthless people. Israel felt their oppression. They did things to Israel that we won't go into detail with in this sermon, but Israel felt their oppression, and honestly, they just hated the people of Nineveh because of it. It was truly awful. Now, just know, whatever the Ninevites did, it was just disgusting stuff. You know, they did stuff to where even the nations around them feared them and didn't even like them at all. And so, and as we read this story of Jonah, it's easy for us to look at Jonah as like, well, you know, we're Jonah, right? We're this hero that's supposed to go and take this message to these people. But we look and I was like, man, he's kind of a dumb guy, right? Like, God verbally tells him to do something, and yet he doesn't do it. But with any story in the Bible, especially a historical story, we have to make sure we identify with the right character. All right, because if you begin to identify with the wrong character in Scripture, it's going to lead you to the wrong conclusion and lead you to the wrong application. So at times in this story, can we say that we're Jonah? In a few parts, we can say that we're Jonah. But really, in this story, we need to say that I am Nineveh. And we are the people of Nineveh. And I'm going to go into that detail in just a little bit and what that means. Because if we identify with the wrong one, then it's going to lead us to the wrong conclusion. And what we're going to see from this story, that as times as we identify with Jonah, but more times than not, we're going to identify with Nineveh. So as we read this first chapter, which is where we're going to be today, we're going to learn what really rebellion and what a sinner looks like, but it's really going to show us what going forward a Savior will look like. Read with me chapter 1 in Jonah. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, 'Get up. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because their evil has come before me.' Jonah got up to flee to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid for the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. But the Lord threw a great wind out of the sea, and such a great storm arose on the sea, and that the ship threatened to break apart. The sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his God. They threw the ship's cargo into the sea to lighten the load. Meanwhile, Jonah had gone down to the lowest part of the vessel, and it stretched out and had fallen a deep sleep. The captain approached him and said, "What are you doing sound asleep? Get up, call to your God. Maybe this God will consider us and we won't perish." "Come on," the sailors said to each other, "let's cast lots. Then we'll know who is to blame for the trouble that we're in." So they cast lots, and a lot singled out Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us who is to blame for this trouble we're in. Who is your business, and where are you from? What is your country, and what people are you from?" He answered them, "I am Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of the heavens, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were seized by great fear and said to him, "What have you done?" The men knew that he was fleeing from the Lord's presence because he had told them. So they said to him, "What should we do so that the sea will calm down for us?" For the sea was getting worse and worse. He answered them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea so that it will calm down for you. For I know that I am to blame for this great storm that is against you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land because they couldn't see the sea because the sea was raging against them more and more. So they called out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, don't let us perish because of this man's life, and don't charge us with innocent blood. For you, Lord, have done just as you please." Then they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Then the men were seized by great fear of the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. So in this story, God told Jonah to go prophesy to the country of Nineveh. And so Jonah seems immediately to find something else to do. He's like, "I don't really want to do it." And so Jonah was like, "You know what? I'm going to find a different ship to go somewhere else." If anyone knows anything about Jonah, they know that God told him to go to Nineveh and he just didn't go. Now, another thing you need to know about Nineveh, other than it's being wicked, it's huge. It would take 3 days to walk across from one side of the town to the other. And so, in other words, Jonah would have been outnumbered greatly. He would have been to this city, and this city would have been thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people, and he would have been one against many people who he considered wicked and who had really just punished Israel over the years. And so Jonah knew that if God was calling him to do that, then there was a chance that Nineveh would actually repent. And so Jonah in his mind was like, "Okay, I'm in kind of a lose-lose situation here. If I go to Nineveh and they repent, I'm not going to like that, and Israel's not going to like that because we don't like them. We don't want them to repent. We want justice. We want them to feel the pain that they've caused us to feel for a lot of years." Or if they do repent and he goes and does it, then Israel's going to hate Jonah because it's like, "Why are you doing that? We wanted justice." So he was in his mind in a lose-lose situation. And a lot of times we judge Jonah for not following God, but honestly, would we have done anything different? Or have we done anything different in the scenarios that we've been placed in? If God called you to be a missionary or maybe just go across the street to a person you didn't like, have you done that? Or have you just by happen had to go to the grocery store at that point, or "Oh, my dog needed to be taken out," or whatever needed to be, and you just kind of avoided that person? Has that happened to you before? You know, a lot of times it was like, "Well, how can Jonah not do that?" Well, because we do the same thing in our lives as well, right? We avoid people that are just hard for us. We don't want to be around them. We don't want to see repentance. We want to see justice, especially if they've been mean to us. And so when we see in verse 3 that he was fleeing to Tarshish, now Jonah wasn't just running away, he was really running away. Tarshish is about 1,500 miles from Nineveh. Now, I did some calculations, that's somewhere in Oklahoma from here, okay? So if Jonah was literally trying to go from here to Oklahoma to get away from these people, or to get away from God's calling of what he was trying to do. But in this, we learn a lesson about rebellion, and it's just an incredibly simple truth, but it's so true. Rebellion is just simply saying no to God, and that's what it is. And the reality is that each of us every day have to battle saying no to God. God is calling you to do something every day in your life. What are you telling him no to? And I want to remind you something about Jonah. Jonah was well-respected in his day. He was the premier prophet in his day. He would have been considered an upstanding Christian in our day. He would have been considered the dude that's like, "Oh, that's a good Christian guy right there. He's doing everything right." He was revered. And here's the truth about our rebellion. There are many godly people who tell God no in one aspect of their life. So what area of your life are you saying no to God to? But what is known for what is Jonah known for today? He's not known for being a premier prophet. That's what we don't know him as. We don't know him as that. We know it's the guy who told God no and ran off to flee from Nineveh. Even though he was really great in every other aspect, he's been known for his saying no to God. It just shows you how one little sin can really cause a spiritual disaster in your life. That anything that we allow to take root in our heart, anything that we allow sin, any sin or any rebellion in our heart that we allow to say, that we say, God, I'm not doing this, it can create a spiritual disaster in your life. Maybe you're here today and maybe you're saying no, you're not willing, God is calling you to sacrifice your time or your money or whatever it is monetarily in your life. Maybe it's changing your lifestyle to better fit a more kingdom lifestyle. And you're saying, God, I can't do that in my life because it would mean discomfort in this one area. Maybe that's you here today. And maybe God is asking you to do what he's asking Jonah to do. Maybe he's calling you, he's like, hey, I need you to go across the street, or I need you to go across town, or these people here that I need you to go reach. But you're saying no because there is something in you that says, I don't like these people. And what are you saying no to God to today? You could be like Jonah, and every other part of your life, you're getting it right. But in that one area, you're saying no to God. And saying no to God is simply rebellion. And we know from Scripture that all of us take part in that rebellion at some point or another. Here's the interesting thing about this passage. In verse 3, my translation says that Jonah found a ship going to Tarshish. Now, some of your translations say there was a ship ready to go down. Now, have you ever met someone that assumed just because something happened for, like, just out of the blue, that a ship was ready, that God was saying, hey, it's okay to do that. You know, something was right. You were having a bad day in your marriage, or maybe you've had a bad weeks, months in your marriage, and someone was there just to maybe make you feel good about yourself and maybe flirt back with you. And then you're like, oh, God, this must be it. And you're just like, God had, the devil had a ship ready for you to go somewhere that you weren't pleasing to do. And so here's the truth that we need to write down. If you want to run from God, there will always be a ship ready for you to run from him in. It's the enemy's job to have a ship prepared for you in your disobedience. Listen, if you tolerate greed in your life, there will always be a deal that you can't turn down. If your eyes wander, there will always be a girl or a guy that will flirt back with you. Then some people say, well, I had a piece about that decision. We need to be careful with that also, because Jeremiah 17:9 says that our heart is deceitful. Listen, it is the enemy's job to give us a false sense of security and a false sense of peace about the things that we do in our life. Look at Genesis 3. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, what was Satan trying to do then? He was trying to make them feel at peace about the decision about disobeying God. That is Satan's job with you in your life. He wants you to feel at peace with the wrong decisions against God's will for your life. One of Satan's primary roles is to give us peace in doing the wrong thing. The peace that you have in your heart may not be a godly peace, but instead it could be Satan's numbing your conscience to disobey God's will for your life. So that means we have to look at God's word. We have to know his word to know what it actually says, so that when things come about, we can say, no, this is against God's word. And I don't care if I feel at peace or not at peace with it. I know what God's word says, so I'm going to obey it. Your feelings may change, but God's word will never change. And that's why we have to stick with God's word. In verse 4, Jonah is on the boat and God brings basically the storm of all storms. This is basically a Category 5 hurricane that these guys really have never seen. And so, like many of us, the sailors in the pastures are horrified. They're like, we're about to die. And so they're like, this is bigger than anything. So all of them knows, like, some God is doing this. We don't know who. There's a lot of people from different areas, like, is it your God? Is it your God? Is it your God? And so they're trying to figure it all out. And so they go down, and what we see here is that Jonah was down in the bottom of the ship sleeping. And so all these guys, while he was sleeping, all the rest of these guys were pulling out, like, their magic eight balls and the little hankies that the little TV evangelists have blessed. And so they're pulling it out and trying to figure out what they can do to stop this storm. Well, then they go down and they find Jonah just sleeping. And the text says that he went down into the ship. And if you notice how many times the word down is in that passage, it says he went down, he goes down to Joppa. He went down to the inner part of the ship. He goes down to sleep. The word down there is representing death. It is like you putting someone in the grave. This is symbolism here. When Jonah went down into the ship, it was literally symbolizing a spiritual death, a spiritual disaster in his life. He was literally spiritually dead because of the decision to run from God. It was a complete spiritual disaster. And the picture here is that that's the downward spiral of sin. It's like you're walking on the beach, like you're on the beach, and you just walk, you're just enjoying the scenery, and next thing you know, you're like 15 hotels down the beach, and you're like, how in the world did I get here? And you have to call up your friends and have them drive down and actually pick you up, because you're like miles down the beach, and you don't want to walk all the way back. That's literally the way sin does. It's just, it's gradual. You don't notice it. You don't notice it. But then by the time that you awake from it, all of a sudden your life is a spiritual disaster. You're like, how in the world did I get this far gone? How in the world did I get this far down this path? And so we want to be sure that we are aware of the drift that can happen because of the sin in our life. And after this, the captain of the ship wakes Jonah up and he says, hey, These other gods that these guys are saying, they ain't helping us. So we need to see who your God is. Who is your God? He's like, well, I'm a Hebrew. I worship the God who created everything. So basically at that point, they cast lots and the lots fall on Jonah. It's like, surprise, surprise, you're the reason why all this is happening right now. And here's what we need to learn about disobedience. Our disobedience not only affects us, but it affects those around us. Listen, we never sin in private, and we've been learning this with the story of David, but our sins always affect other people. Your family, your friends may be feeling the effects of your sin. Listen, maybe your sin is making you a bad mom or a dad right now, or maybe you're an unloving or a disappointing spouse because you're all about yourself and not about Christ. What I'm still learning about this reality is that the greatest thing that you can give a family, a friend, a loved one, a family member, is your holiness. Other than Jesus, the greatest gift that anyone can receive from you is your spiritual health. Think of it in this way. When you're on an airplane, they are doing the little rundowns, like in case of an emergency type of stuff. Like, what do they tell you to do first? Like, if the bags drop, you know, what do? You put the mask on first before you can help someone else, right? And they're saying that because how can you help someone else if you're passed out? And so the same is true spiritually. If you're passed out spiritually, how in the world are you going to help somebody else spiritually if you're not nourished yourself spiritually? And so if you're passed out, then you can't help those around you. And here's a hard pill for us to swallow today. Many people are dying and going to hell today because some of us are passed out spiritually. We're not walking with God. And your failure to walk with God has a devastating effect on those around you. If God is not your priority, then it's not going to be actually a priority for your children as well. Then we see them throw Jonah off the side of the boat and the sea immediately calms. You know, typically when we think of this story, we always think like, well, they threw him overboard and then the whale eats him and everything kind of is calm, right? Well, that's not the way the story actually sounds, right? It's like they throw him overboard and all of a sudden everything's calm and Jonah's just kind of sitting there waiting in the water. It's like, oh, okay, cool, that worked, you know? And he's probably sitting there thinking like, oh, can I climb back in the boat now? You know, and let's head on where we're going. It was then after that he actually gets eaten by the big fish. And so the timing there is a little unique now. But now having a big fish in the water probably was terrifying for everybody in that experience. But first, I want to tell you two things that I believe going forward that Jonah shows us. And I want to kind of spend the rest of my time in those two things. One, we see that Jonah shows us what a real sinner is. And like we talked about earlier, Jonah was a stand-up guy, but he was disobeying God in one area of his life, and he refused to do it. You see, Jonah had a dilemma. And he had this big dilemma. He would go preach to Nineveh and they would repent and then he would be upset. Or he wouldn't go preach and then God would be upset at him. You know, I'm sure our hearts are at times the same as Jonah's. We don't want to see repentance because the people who may be God calling us to see, we want to see justice instead. But Jonah had to obey, but he had to obey in the area that mattered most to him. So this is the area that defined him. You see, one of the things that defined Jonah, which he was probably unaware of at the time, was his hatred towards the Ninevites. You know, Jonah was like, well, I don't hate anybody. I don't hate anybody without cause. But God was like, well, there's one group of people that you do hate, and I'm calling you to go preach the gospel to them. He's like, I can't do that. So what area of your life are you saying that matters most to you? It's like, if God told you to do something, would really cause you to take a step back. It's like, God, I don't know about that. So the question for many of us today is, who is following God? In what area of your life are you really saying no to God to? Are you really willing to obey God in all areas of your life? Are you willing to lay down your pride and your bitterness for the sake of the gospel? Verse 3 gives us a really good insight because it says, Jonah ran from the presence of God. Now, the literal Hebrew word there is panem, which means face. And so the literal translation for that is that Jonah ran from the face of God. And so Jonah wanted to follow God and be in his presence, but the thing he loved most was then confronted, and so he chose to run away from the face of God. And so real obedience to God is when we value the presence of the face of God in our life more so that we would give anything up just to be in his presence. Even the things that we hold on to dearly and the things that we love the most in this life, we say, I would rather be in God's presence and be in right standing with him than to tell him no and to have the comforts of the things of this life. In Daniel chapter 3, we really see an illustration of this, and where you have three Hebrew boys that were faced with this same dilemma, right? They were going to be thrown into the fiery furnace, and here was the question that they had to answer. What would you rather have? Would you rather be in flames with the presence of God, or would you rather be in comfort and safety without his presence? And that's the question that we have to ask ourselves today. Would you rather have the joy of the face of God in your life and have his presence with you, or even if it means that obeying God in a difficult situation, or have the benefits and the comforts of disobedience without him? Listen, Jonah shows us what a real sinner is. Each year, the Jews gather together for Yom Kippur in the synagogue, and the book of Jonah is actually read during that time. And Jonah, they all respond at the conclusion of the reading of Jonah and say, we are Jonah. That's what they say every year at Yom Kippur. Jonah is the religious person who is daily confronted with the question whether they'll leave everything to follow God. But he not only shows us what a real sinner looks like, but he also shows us what a real Savior will look like. You see, there is a difference between how Jonah feels about the Ninevites and how God feels about us. See, Jonah wanted justice, and God wanted repentance and salvation and forgiveness. What Jonah got wrong, Jesus got right. Jonah was on a mission of revenge against the Ninevites, and Jesus was on a mission of restoration to save sinners like you and me because he loved us. Jonah was about his self-protection, but Jesus poured himself out in self-sacrifice for us. What we usually fail to understand is that our sin against God is what Nineveh's sin was against Jonah. You know, God hates our sin just as much as Jonah hated Nineveh's sin. It was our sin that crucified Christ on the cross. Nineveh's sin against God was great, and our sin against God was just as great as theirs. So we said earlier, yeah, we can identify with Jonah, but in reality, we more so can identify with Nineveh. Because we have to come to the realization that we're the people that are sinners in need of salvation. We need that someone to tell us about the gospel, to go and say, hey, there is a greater option out there. You can have forgiveness of your sins. You can be forgiven, and you can be in a right relationship with God. We were that person that needed to hear that message of Christ. And so what we see here is like, yeah, we're Nineveh. We're the wicked people in needing of saving. And some of you here today, and maybe you're like Jonah, you're saying, hey, God, I'll do anything for you, but this one area, I'm not willing to do it. And you have, and maybe you need to say today, God, I'm going to give that area of my life back to you. And I'm willing to say, God, whatever it is that you're calling me to do, I'm willing to do it today. Some of you here, you're like Nineveh. You're like the city in need of salvation and forgiveness from God. And maybe you haven't ever experienced that before. Maybe you've never given your life to Christ before. You say, God, I'm a sinner in need of forgiveness. And God, today I want to be forgiven of my sins and repent and now walk in the newness of life with you. And today, maybe you need to repent and believe like Nineveh did at the end of this book. Or maybe you're here today and maybe you've prayed that prayer or you've made that decision to be a follower of Jesus, then you realize that you need a forgiveness of your sins. But you really haven't started to follow through with what that means in your life. And maybe it means that you need to follow through in believer's baptism. Maybe that means that you need to get plugged into a local church and really be a part of the body of Christ and be missional through the church. Maybe that's what it looks like in your life. But whichever one you are, the question is, are you going to choose what God is calling you to do, or are you going to do what's more comfortable to you? And whatever it is, I pray that you're obedient to what God is calling you to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and that it challenges us, Father. And Lord, we pray that today, Lord, if there's someone here, Father, who has never, Lord, repented and believed of from their sins, Father, that, Lord, that they do that today. Lord, I pray that today, even if there's people who are Christians here today, but Father, if there's someone here that's telling you no in one area of your life, that Father, that you reveal that to them and they're able to give that area back over to you, Father. So, Father, I just pray that today, during this time, that, Lord, we're obedient to whatever you're calling us to do. And we ask this in your name. Amen.